minutes after the hour, the second and final hour of the show today. Glad you could be with us on this Monday, March 1st. Was it March of last year when all the COVID stuff started happening? It was really the next week? Because it was right around conference tournament time. We didn't get to March Madness. We got it. So, yeah, next week, this is when everything started to get out. And then you had the NBA situation with Rudy Gobert, probably like almost a year ago exactly, because the NBA shut down. And then NCAA tried to make a go of it. And by the time they started, the Mountain West Conference tournament started early. And then the Pac-12, for one of a couple of these tournaments, actually started. And then they just stopped them. Whew. Almost a year ago. It has been one hell of a year. From March to March. My goodness. Hopefully we are starting to put all that behind us. Certainly in the sports world we are. We've been back at it with everything. This is going to be a wide open March Madness tournament. In fact, we're registering people for our tournament. If you want to get in, I got a few hooligans in, a couple of noobs, not that noob in. So should we get like two? Let's pop two in right now. Be callers 1 and 2. Call right now on the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310, or toll free, 877-353-1310. It's free. You know, we're either going to do it through CBS Sports or ESPN, but we got a lot of great sponsors hooking us up with gifts this year. You're going up against us, too. I'll be in it. Colfax is jumping in. But callers 1 and 2, all I need is an email address, and you'll just get the invites for this. You're not going to get pesky mailer lists or anything like that. So callers 1 and 2, 970-353-1310. You'll be in our fourth annual whole show bracket challenge. So get in the mix there, and we'll look to continue to fill that up throughout the course of the week. Power to Play Sports poll question is available. Is Nikola Jokic already the greatest Denver Nugget of all time? And look at this, man. Now we're at 50-50. No and yes. 40% say no. 40% say yes. 18% sitting at just the top five side of it. But starting to get more votes coming in for Joker being already the GOAT, already the greatest Denver Nugget of all time. You go vote. Go to theholeshow.com. Scroll down the page. If you're on your phone, it's at the bottom of your phone. But if you're on your desktop, laptop, whatever, it's not too far down. And I just refreshed to see, because like every time I refresh it, now it's 43% Joker saying, yes, Joker is the greatest Denver Nugget of all time. Yeah, I mean, if you go strictly off numbers, then it's Alex English. And that's why I'm asking a lot of people a few years older than me, even 10, 15 years older than me, because you watched Alex English. Now, I don't have to watch. Now, if I see Colfax, if I see her in the record books, I don't necessarily have to watch to know about your greatness. You know, like I said, I grew up, we were a diehard sports family. We didn't go on vacations. We went to games. We went to Broncos games. We went to Nuggets games, Rockies games, Avs games, college games. And my brother, my dad, big-time Nuggets guys. We loved the Nuggets. It was always Broncos were number one, probably Nuggets number two. They were big Alex English fans. So I grew up hearing all about Alex English. So as far as that goes, that message of any diehard Nuggets fan, they know you don't even have to be a diehard Nuggets fan to know Alex English. He was the brand for Denver. Now, I mean, they didn't really achieve any real greatness as far as championships go, but English was the, you know, he's up there in a lot of all-time lists, man. And he did impact this team in a huge way. I guess I just look at it, and it's kind of the Melo argument. You know, people argue about English and Melo. English has all the stats, but Melo saved a franchise. Nikola Jokic, if you think about it, Colfax, kind of saved a franchise. Now, not instantly. He was drafted, he was a second-round pick, more of an experiment. He wasn't a sure thing like Carmelo. He was, we got Yusuf Nurkic, but we're going to take this guy in the second and see what happens. And then after year one, Denver started seeing him differently. Huh, is this guy, maybe we're going to work this guy in. And then, was it year two or three? It was probably year two when they tried to start both, and that didn't work out, so they traded off Yusuf Nurkic because it had to be one or the other, and the Nuggets chose to keep Joker. That was a great decision. And after that, once the Joker became the Joker, really, started becoming more of a triple-double guy, double-double guy at least, Denver started becoming relevant. And then made the playoffs 2 years. This is his sixth year. And they, you know, if they do make the playoffs, in 6 years, he will have gone to half of his time in the NBA. He's made it to the playoffs. And that's when you start separating yourself a little more. Got to get in. Still some work to do when you look at these standings, Colfax. So, and that's all going to be part of this conversation, is how much did you get to the playoffs? How many All-Star appearances did you get? I mean, can't you just pencil Joker in for at least another three or four more? I mean, All-Star games? The guy's going to fall over double-doubles. Guys can fall asleep and score 20. But as far as talking about great, you know, MVP status, you got to be a four seed. Five at the worst. So right now, Denver would be playing in the play-in tournament. So this is how this goes. So they decided to add this year. So if you're 1 through 6, you're safe. You're in the playoffs. You're in. As of right now, and you tell me if this doesn't scare the hell out of you. As of right now, if this were to be done today, people hate when I say that, but that's just the way it goes. Denver would play Golden State. Winner stays in at 7. Winner, you're basically competing for 7 because Denver's 7, Golden State's 8. Denver and Golden State would play. Winner stays where they goes to 7. Loser has to play the winner between 9 and 10. So Dallas and Memphis are 9 and 10. So those two play. Whoever wins that game, let's just say Dallas beats Memphis, Dallas would play the loser of the 7-8 game. And then the winner of that game locks in at 8. So, as of right now, Denver would have to win 1 out of 2 possible games. Either beating Golden State game 1 or Dallas game 2. And you tell me if you like that. What do you think of that, by the way? This is basically the NBA doing their own little version of the wild card. They did it in the bubble and apparently liked it. It does give 2 more teams incentive not to tank. And technically, it's not a playoff game. So you're not making it to the playoffs. You make it to a play-in game. I got to admit, Colfax, at first I hated it. Hated the idea. Because gimmicks or whatever, but it does give 2 more teams incentive to not tank.
And that's valuable right there.
Oh, and then not even 2 more teams. It gives
4.
Probably almost 4, if not 5 more. If not all but the basement dweller. Because if you, like right now, Houston, which they're going bye-bye, they're 11-21. They're only 4 games back from the possibility of being in a play-in game. And they're second to last in the West. Wow. Why didn't I think of that?
But does it count to like your record or anything?
If you make it to the play-in game?
Yeah.
Like, is it going to go up in a banner, hey, made it 2021 playoff participants?
Yeah, or does it apply to your, it's not regular season, but it's not playoffs.
It's basically just its own, even less meaningful than a wild card.
Okay.
So the wild card I consider playoffs.
Right.
I mean, it's not the playoffs, but you made it to a wild card game.
It's postseason.
In the NFL, the wild card game is the playoffs. So, I mean, NFL's the king. So if they call something, if they call wild card a playoff game, then wild card is a playoff game. So this is like less than that. This is for a chance to get to the playoffs, essentially, right. Which I guess is the same with baseball, but still feels different.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
Which I hate.
Yeah.
But I do like incentivizing the non-taking.
I mean, because right now, Dallas and Memphis, and the eighth spot is still very wide open. Golden State's at 19 and 16. Dallas is 16 and 16, but there's incentive, I would say, for everybody. Minnesota's 7 and 28. Houston's 11 and 21. You know, obviously, they've, ever since Harden left, that team's just, they're falling out. It's going to be rebuild mode. But Sacramento, the Thunder, the Pelicans, the Grizzlies, the Mavs, they're all right there. And think of this, which is why it's so damn important for the Nuggets to get their act together. You don't want to be in this, though. Like, as a fan of these teams like the Grizz and the Mavericks, where you just want them to get a chance, that's cool. Denver's supposed to be a 2-1 seed, maybe. And you might be playing in for your life. That's why I like games like tonight. You know, it's against the Chicago team that's a below 500 team. They're going to be fighting for that play-in opportunity as well. But you got to take care of these kind of teams. And, you know, there's a few games left before we jump into that All-Star break. You got to go in feeling pretty good. Go in feeling good about yourself. Get about five games over. I mean, they're three games over 500 right now. I'd feel much better if they could jump into that sixth spot even before we get there. Before the break, there's three more games left. You have Chicago tonight, Milwaukee tomorrow night, and then Indiana on Thursday. I think tonight's huge because you're going on a back-to-back against Milwaukee. I said I'd like to see Denver going back to the Portland situation February 23rd. I said I want to see out of the next few games, I want to see Denver go like 4-2 in their next six. So, or maybe that was the Washington. Or yeah, it was the Portland one. So they're 2-1. So I'd like to see them grab two of these next three before jumping in. And then you have Memphis and Dallas jumping out the gates. You know, so I mean, this is going to be tough, but you, I like Denver in a series much more than I like him in a one game decide your fate. Because I do think Denver, based on their experience from last year, you know, being down 3-1. Hey, it's the Nuggets' favorite day, by the way, Colfax. 3-1. March 1st, you know, down 3-1, that whole deal. Yeah, didn't land. It's like, we all know what happened after that, after being down 3-1. We all know what happened with the Nuggets. I think that experience is going to help them in a series. One game in basketball, that's tough. Plus, if it's against Golden State, I mean, Steph Curry that guy always scares me. He's not like the GOAT. He's not one of the greatest of all time. But there's something about a quick-release three-point shooter that just gives me nightmares. And that is Steph Curry, man. I mean, he's playing. He is like right up there. I mean, he's starting to play like an MVP type guy. He's a scary player. I mean, he's averaging about 30 points a game again. So I mean, something about it. I don't know why. I know the Lakers are the better. Well, should be the better team. The Jazz right now are the much better team. But Golden State scares the hell out of me. One game. Whew. Denver better. You got to go, man. It's going to get tight here. You have to find a way to give yourself some breathing room between that seventh spot. And like right now, you know, it's close. They're right. I mean, if you go to the fifth spot, like Phoenix, they're playing good basketball, man. They're playing great basketball. That four and up is going to be tough to get to for Denver. I mean, you got a lot of games left. But, you know, you got to start thinking, how this great team. Utah's lost seven games. The Lakers have lost 11. They're not that far away, but first things first, you gotta set your sights on that, getting out of that spot, six or five. I kind of like it, Colfax. It's kind of interesting. Yeah. Anyway, all right, Colfax, my game of the week. Yes, I am firing that at you this time. Game of the week. It might not mean as much come Friday, but Colorado State, Nevada, I'm going there. Because really, I don't care if you're talking about the regular season title, which we're going to know on Wednesday for sure, unless CSU loses tonight for some reason, which they're like 18-point favorites against Air Force, so I don't see that happening. But they need to win all three of these games to improve their resume. And if they don't beat Nevada on Friday, let's say they beat Air Force and they beat New Mexico, and then they lose to Nevada on Friday, they're going to probably need to win two games in the tournament. And so that puts a lot of pressure. This is a team that, if you remember, lost in the first round to Wyoming last year. So you want to be careful putting too much pressure on you when you're getting into that Mountain West Conference tournament, because we know tournament play, man. Sometimes all bets are off. I was going back and forth with Kevin Lytle today of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and just texting. And yeah, I was kind of like bummed about this whole San Diego State thing. He's speaking sense, which he typically does. He makes a lot of sense, so I'll get into that. But I basically shot him a text and said, hey, you got to win out, right? And maybe a first-round victory. Or go 2-1 and win two tourney games. Kevin told me, guys that he's talking to inside, you know, insiders with NCAA, March Madness, all that, feel about the same. That both of those are the formula. That you got two formulas here. And I'm talking minimum. Obviously, if they go on and win the tournament, they're in. Or if they even make it to the championship game, they're in. But that's the minimum formula. You can go 2-1, which is pretty easy, should be for CSU to go 2-1, but then you got to win two tournament games in the Mountain West Conference tournament. Or you go 3-0 and you just take care of that first round. And that's the minimum. Obviously, if you rock and roll all the way through, you win these next three, and then you win another two or three, you're safe. So I think the chances look really good for CSU. Now, to win the regular season title, this is it. And this is a lot of consternation. A lot of Rams fans are not crazy about some of these scenarios. But this is the way it is, man. CSU has to win all three. And then San Diego State has to lose to UNLV on Wednesday. If they do that, if that happens, CSU will win the regular season title. There will be no tiebreaker. There will be no split with the way the situation works. So what you have is, if you go look right now, you're going to say that I'm wrong. San Diego State is 13-3 in conference play. Colorado State is 12-3 in conference play. The Rams have three more games. The best they can hope for is 15-3. Now, the two New Mexico games are not showing up on San Diego State's win-loss total in the conference. They didn't forfeit because of COVID. Nobody's forfeiting because of COVID. New Mexico just flat out didn't play that game, didn't want to play. I text Kevin to get clarity even more. They basically just chose not to play. Didn't have any COVID situation. They had a couple of injuries and basically said, nah. There was a rumor going around that they might just stop the season. So they are counting those two games as wins for San Diego State. So that 13-3 conference record you see is now 15-3. Remember, that's the best the Rams can hope for. San Diego State has one more game. So the best that San Diego State can get to is 16-3. Now, I tend to look at that and say, why not go off of losses rather than wins on account of the COVID situation? And if that was the case, best case scenario for both teams, you have three losses. But then listen, the Aztecs would have won against New Mexico both times. I mean, it would have been a hell of a major upset had that happened. You're talking about one of the top teams in college basketball. So it does make sense. And if you were to do my first thought was, just go off the losses. If you do that, you really kind of screw over San Diego State. Because then that means any team can just forfeit and then that doesn't count. No, there should be repercussions. New Mexico should get a loss for that. We shouldn't just wipe that away and go, they didn't feel like playing, so that game never happened. So in 2 years, you look back and say, New Mexico wasn't as bad as we thought. They need to have those losses. Therefore, San Diego State needs to have those wins. And they are the 19th team, ranked 19th in the country. So, I mean, this is a great basketball team. They could do some big things. So I know Rams fans are upset. I understand it. But it does make sense. Blame New Mexico, I guess. But if they forfeit, there should be a punishment for them, and that should be a loss. And if you're going to give a team a loss, you have to give the opposite team a win. So as unfair as it seems, that's where you're going. They're not forfeiting games due to COVID. So you say, the Rams were supposed to play New Mexico twice. They're only going to play them once. Shouldn't they get a forfeit for one of those games? Same with Nevada. Those were both COVID-related. And that's kind of stuff out of your control, I suppose. I wish they could have just found ways to make these all up a lot faster. But there you go. That's how it goes. CSU still can win their first regular season title. They've never won one in the Mountain West Conference tournament. But not likely. I would say San Diego State, 85% chance that they beat UNLV, and then that's it. And if CSU somehow drops tonight, then it's over. None of our little discussions even matter, which they shouldn't. But my game of the week is against Nevada on Friday, mainly because of what it means for their March Madness standings. Now, again, if San Diego State loses on Wednesday, that game becomes the biggest game, maybe one of the biggest games Colorado State has ever had, because they could win the title based on what happens for the rest of the week. All right, 25 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, more on the Nuggets, more on Nikola Jokic and how much he really means to this team. And what can the Nuggets do before that trade deadline to really bolster up that lineup? Or is it in their best interest to sit tight and just get to the All-Star break and get healthy? We'll be right back.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights. Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
On the Rocks Liquor, celebrating their 10th anniversary. Wow, it's kind of hard to believe that. Their Game Beer of the Week this week is from Brick's Tap House in Greeley. It's the Mother May I Mango IPA. It's a good one. I've had that one before, Colfax. Highly recommend that.
Classic Brick's.
That's a good
grapefruit Brick's. IPA. It's like a perfect blend.
Yeah, it's delicious.
And a beer.
Normally, I don't like that kind of beer either, but I've had that several times, and that one's good. Several times, and that one's good. Get it for a discount price at On the Rocks Liquor. They have selections from Brick's or any of your favorite breweries. A lot of local breweries, man. They definitely support that. I know you and I were talking about that last week, like businesses that do that. It's kind of a big deal.
It's what I look for when I go to any
store,
new establishment.
Restaurant, yeah, exactly. Whatever. So it's On the Rocks Liquor, again, celebrating 10 years. And they also want to introduce Molly Brown Spirits from Denver is available at On the Rocks Liquor. So bourbon whiskey and rye whiskey, great, great stuff, man. I mean, they're available only at On the Rocks Liquor. So check them out. Tell them we sent you here from The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. Let's read a couple of texts. McLean says, can we unload this Gary Harris contract and surround Joker with some serious players? And that's the thing. Like, in order to do that, You have to give something, man. I mean, I know that there are teams. Now, Gary Harris and Will Barton are kind of interesting. Mike Singer in the Denver Post was putting together kind of this wish list, saying, hey, you know, maybe if you are able to move some guys, would it make sense to move Gary Harris? I mean, there are interesting contracts. Harris is owed $20 million next season. He's a free agent in 2022. Barton's owed $13.7 million this season and player option this offseason. Now, they've either been hurt or they've underachieved since those contracts, honestly. I mean, Harris, it was so exciting when they locked him up, but since then, he just really hasn't been the guy that, you know, that earned that contract. However, I could see a young team trade for those guys if they're wanting to offload contracts. Now, we talked about DeMar DeRozan, and I don't see why they would be in a rebuild mode. They're right now, they're what, fourth in the West? But if there's a team like that that says, I don't see us winning the title based on this structure, maybe we tear it down, we start over. You could unload contracts like a DeMar DeRozan type guy and bring in a Gary Harris, Will Barton, knowing that, all right, we got these guys for now. We don't have to. Then it's free agent the next season. We don't have them anymore. So the appealing thing for Harris and Barton is if you trade them, you're just doing it for the year. And this would essentially be an offloading of contracts. That's what you would hope for with other teams. Now, Singer put together an interesting list. Jarrett Culver with the T-Wolves, a small forward. Pelicans guard. Everybody's talked about J.J. Redick. I've heard J.J. Redick's name come up a lot when talking about moves the Nuggets should make. DeMar DeRozan is on that list. Norman Powell's on that list. Terrence Ross is on that list as far as guys that might, you know, Denver might be able to trade. But again, now outside of teams wanting to offload and just do a contract dump, which again, I think it's silly if, especially with this new play-in system. Because the Pelicans are technically a team that could get in. San Antonio's hanging on to a top spot in the West right now. I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be that year. Maybe teams fight for it. And I do think that eventually you want you know, you're already rewarding teams for getting into that play-in game, which I'm curious to see your people's thoughts on that. I still like the rewarding draft picks, too. Always the best team that didn't make it in gets the better draft pick. But, you know, I mean, if you see these guys fighting to the end for the playoffs, then I don't necessarily see a lot of these moves. Like, right now, the Pelicans have a darn good shot. You know, Orlando's 13-21, but they have, you know, the two games out of the play-in opportunity. So would they want to trade Terrence Ross? Not so sure. I don't see the Nuggets making any big moves. Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets told us last week that their vision is Joker, Murray, Porter Jr. to be that. That's their core. Those three guys, and then there's everybody else. They build on those three. That's what they want. Now you see a game like what we saw on Saturday, or was it Friday? Porter had a beautiful game. Looked good. Everybody was clicking in that game. And then you start to walk away, and you are a believer. Okay, these guys could be the real deal together. Maybe this could work out. But then you see the way that Washington game finished, and I think a lot of us have been scratching our heads at that one, even after the win. They needed that Thunder win, though, especially after what happened. Kovacs, before we take a break, do you want to thank Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service? Services as unique as life. Their motto is live well, plan ahead. Give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. They work with FEMA in many of our nation's disasters, 9/11 in NYC, Hurricane Katrina, and the Joplin tornado. Their website is MosierFuneralService.com, M-O-S-E-R, FuneralService.com. 36 minutes after the hour, let's jump out of here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Shout out to Auto Taylor. They work on my vehicle. They work on my wife's vehicle. If I need an oil change, whatever. I mean, they're going to take care of me. I've been going there for years. I know a lot of people here at KFKA have as well. And listen, they get busy, but they do a fantastic job of moving people through and getting things figured out. That's Auto Taylor. They, you know, they're here. Maybe you're hearing a squealing sound, maybe clunking noise, whatever. They'll help get it figured out. Auto Taylor in Greeley. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. Guy texting in on our Mountain West comment, our discussion, says the rules were most likely created during a time when there wasn't a pandemic and didn't consider such forfeits like these. I'm sure there will be many rule changes after this is all said and done, or after it affects hoop school like Duke. True. If it were to affect Duke, this would be an epidemic. Let me just say this, though. What happened with New Mexico wasn't COVID. And Colfax, you remember when I talked about the Utah State football game? You know, Utah State's supposed to come to CSU, but they had... Oh, the whole thing is blurry. Was it their athletic director? Was it their assistant? Who was it? The president of the school? Somebody had said some...
comments about the coach,
kind of,
right?
Some
or
weird,
the stand-in coach.
Yeah, the stand-in coach at that time, some borderline racist type stuff about his religion and his race. And I don't know that we ever really got full details on that. But they basically the team, that happened on a Tuesday, and the team came together on a Friday and said, we're not playing.
The day before.
The game. Everything changed from Tuesday to Friday. I said on the air, I said, you know, I just feel like this is going to set a bad precedent for teams. Pro teams have been doing it. You know, they did it last year in the summer. Just didn't play for protests and all that stuff. And I said, I think that's going to open up a can of worms. Now, here's New Mexico. Just, you know, they were depleted by COVID. They had some injuries, whatever, just stressed out and just didn't play. Now, again, San Diego State probably wins those games. But what if that was Nevada? Nevada's a quad two team. I could see them pulling off an upset. What if that was Nevada that did that? I think we'd be complaining a little bit more about it. Now, if a team forfeits, that's always been the thing. If a team forfeits for whatever reason, they lose that game. And the other team gets the win. But in this case, this is, as of right now, before the Rams even play Air Force tonight, this ultimately decides And if New Mexico would have pulled off an upset, which we'll never know, and again, it wasn't likely that it was going to happen, then, yeah, I mean, we'd be talking about splitting up this conference. And that was early February. And listen, San Diego State was beating teams badly. I mean, before that, they beat Wyoming by 30. They beat them the next night by close to 30. They smoked Air Force. I mean, this is a team that's only lost four times. They lost to BYU. They lost to CSU. They lost both games to Utah State, which CSU beat Utah State once. But they had some injuries in that Utah State game. I don't know. The rules were, again, guys saying the rules were most likely created during a time when there wasn't a pandemic. Do you see the Mountain West looking at that, changing it? I mean, a forfeit's a forfeit. You know, if we go into the next year and it's not COVID anymore, could a team just now, I think they're going to start losing respect, and I think the conference is going to step in and say, you can't just quit games. You're not going to be in this conference anymore if you do that. No, COVID, we will do it. But so you're right. Maybe there will be some kind of strict rules that, like, I think they should do it for the Utah State football game team. Like, you can't just not play a football game. Now, if it's you're physically unable, like a sickness breaks out and you have no guys available, you have less than you need or less than you can have, you don't have enough subs, all that stuff, that's the exception. I do, but I think that, you know, racial allegations and all that stuff, those should be taken seriously. But I think with the Utah State situation, that affected a lot more than just those players. That affected Colorado State here. So that affected a lot more than just a group of players. So I do think that, like New Mexico, should the Mountain West have intervened and said, no, you have to play that game? Like, are you physically unable to? Can you suit up enough guys? You're in the Mountain West and you're in a Division I conference. I don't even know if I like the idea of an 8-man football team or a 6-man football team knowing they're going to get smoked and it's COVID or whatever and it's depleted your team, but you still have 8 guys, 10 guys to play. I don't even know if I like the idea of them saying, well, we're going to get smoked anyway. Let's just not play. I don't like that at the Little League level. This is Division I basketball. Football, if you're talking about Utah State. You can just willingly, you know what? COVID was bad. We've had injuries. We were going to get smoked. Let's just not have the game. Like, I think that, to me, has, like, if I were the conference, I'm stepping in. No, you got to play that game. We'll check. You know, what's the COVID situation look like? Because you're just given a forfeit. Now, again, San Diego State's not really to blame here. They would have won those games. I'd put money on both. I'd put money on them both to cover the spread, which probably would have been like 20. But it still looks strange. It's still, to me, it's a bad look. And that's the thing that I have an issue with here is we're talking about, this is what ultimately is going to separate San Diego State from CSU, assuming they win the next three, is going to be the two forfeits. And okay, well, CSU lost five games due to COVID. Now they're making two of those up, and the UNC game wasn't a conference game, so that wouldn't have mattered anyway. But they did lose one Nevada game and one New Mexico game. Is the Mountain West going to come back in and make it right? Because I think after the fact makes it look tougher. If you're going to come in after the fact, or you're just crossing your fingers that CSU loses one of these three and it's not even an issue, which if I was one of the movers and shakers in the conference, I know I don't want my teams to lose. I don't want my top teams representing me to lose, but it makes things a heck of a lot easier if CSU just lost that game to Nevada for the conference. Listen, on paper, a forfeit is a loss to the team that forfeits, and a win goes to the other team. But this is Division I basketball. Should we allow teams outside of COVID and extenuating circumstances to just up and say, I don't want to play? It's been a hard year. It's been a hard year for everybody. It's been a hard time for everybody. And maybe there's more details that I'm missing, but But I'm going off of my guy, Kevin Lytle from Fort Collins, Colorado. And I was like, I mean, I just wanted to confirm it. I said, hey, this was no way COVID related, right? I texted this morning. I said, so why does San Diego State get to forfeit on those two New Mexico games? Where they were not COVID related, correct? And the response from Kevin was, yeah, they just chose not to play. Didn't have any COVID. They had a couple of injuries and basically just said, nah. There was a rumor going around that they were just going to opt out of the season, but the coaches kind of wanted to convince these guys to play. I know they would have got smoked, but that's not your, this is Division I basketball. So, I mean, again, it's the right decision. It's the right move on paper, but man, it just seems like Colorado State is really getting robbed on this one, 49 minutes after the hour. But Rams fans, if you were willing to accept the win from Utah State football, which I think Rams fans weren't, they would have rather played that game. They didn't care. Doesn't count. I don't care. No one's looking at last year's record and actually saying it means anything. They would have rather see this team one more game. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. Wrap up the show on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
What's on tonight? Yeah, a couple of good ones. You got Denver taking on Chicago at 6 o'clock. Denver will be in Chicago, at Chicago. I think this is a pretty big game for the Nuggets, knowing that they've got Milwaukee and Indiana coming up before the All-Star break. So get this W. See if you can get close to 4 or 5 games over 500. Set yourself up for a second-half push. And away you go. In the Pac-12, Arizona and Oregon going at it. That's going to be on ESPN2, 7 o'clock. And also locally, CBS Sports Network, CSU, playing host to Air Force. None of what we talked about today matters if the Rams don't beat Air Force. They should. They whooped up on them last time. Looked a bit rusty to start, but got rolling. So get this W. You know, move your conference record up to 13-3. Put all the pressure in the world on San Diego State. So, yeah, local games you get to watch something. You know, CBS Sports Network will have that CSU Air Force game. So, a good opportunity to watch the Rams in action. Closing thoughts: is Joker the greatest Nugget of all time? That was our Power to Play Sports poll question already. I'm probably biased here, and again, I didn't watch Alex English. Stat-wise, says Alex English. Impact for an organization, says Nikola Jokic. Take Alex English off that roster back in the day. They were actually still a decent team the year before he got there. Take Nikola Jokic off of this roster. They're not making it into the playoffs. They're probably not even a play-in game. In fact, they aren't. Nikola Jokic is the greatest Nugget of all time. He doesn't have the numbers yet. He will. But based on prime, who I'm taking in their prime, I'm taking Nikola Jokic, and if that's the case, wouldn't you argue that he's the greater of the two players? I would say so. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on Top Text Tuesday. I got a big prize. A Nugget's great. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Good night, Northern Colorado.